Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello and a very happy Friday. Hope you're okay. Thanks so much for downloading today's episode on October the 10th. Coming up, it's World Homelessness Day and we've been hearing from a woman who's been supported by Canterbury charity Porchlight to turn her life around. A groundbreaking new academy, sixth form, is due to open in Kent and there's some very good news from Gillingham as manager Gareth Ainsworth continues to recover from heart surgery. But first, a Kent mum whose four-year-old son died in a bus tragedy is hoping to be able to bury him in her own back garden. Kate has been following this story for us and she's joined me with some more details. Kate, this is quite an unusual story. Can you tell us a bit of background?
Yes, well, we know Zahir Janfazi was visiting his nan at Margate's QEQM when he was hit by a single-decker bus on a zebra crossing near the A&E entrance on August the 7th. Despite best efforts to save him, the young boy from Canterbury could not be revived. The cause of death was given as multiple injuries and an inquest has been adjourned to take place at a later date.
And Zahir's mum, Azaria Green, says she wants to have him buried in her back garden rather than the cemetery. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Azaria says the cemetery where Zahir is currently resting is about a 50-minute walk from her house. She's told Kent Online she's terrified of vehicles since the crash and even the sound of buses leaves her anxious. She says moving the coffin to her own home would help her grieve.
But she doesn't own the home she's living in.
No, she's renting at the moment, but she's launched a fundraiser and has a goal of £30,000, which would be enough for her to buy her own home. She says so far the community response has been amazing and they've already raised more than £1,600.
Okay, I suppose the big question is it even legal to bury a loved one in your back garden?
It is legal in England, but strict rules do apply. Anyone considering a home burial must have the landowner's consent, satisfy the Environment Agency it will not take place within a certain distance of specific types of water and be deep enough so at least a metre of soil covers the top of the coffin. Planning permission is not generally needed and there's no law against it on private land, but it can cause issues when a property is put up for sale. Government guidance also stresses graves must not risk groundwater pollution.
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A man's due to make his first appearance at Crown Court later after being charged with the murder of another man in Snodland. Ryan Greaves was initially accused of GBH with intent after a 51-year-old was flown to hospital with head injuries after being punched in July. He passed away on Monday and Greaves, who's 31 and from Thompson Close, was rearrested. A teenage boy has been arrested after the bomb squad was called to reports of suspicious items in Margate. We told you in yesterday's episode of the podcast how residents in Rosedale Road and three surrounding streets were evacuated on Wednesday afternoon. Well, officers carried out a controlled explosion and the boy was held in custody while investigations continued. A man in his 50s from Medway has died following a crash in Harrietsham. The motorbike he was riding collided with a van on the A20 Ashford Road between Hook Lane and Fairbourne Lane yesterday morning. Crash investigators want to hear from any other drivers who saw the black Suzuki or Mercedes Sprinter before it happened. A woman who was sofa surfing with her young daughter and just two bin bags of clothes has told the Kent Online podcast how she's managed to turn her life around. Jodie had fled a relationship and suffered episodes of psychosis after smoking cannabis. Now, she went clean 4 years ago after seeking help from Canterbury-based homeless charity Porchlight. Jodie's been chatting to me to mark World Homeless Day and also World Mental Health Day.
I was sofa surfing when my daughter was little. It's going to be a bit emotional as well at the same time because how far I've come in my recovery as well of my mental health. And obviously my daughter keeps me going. My daughter's dad was a drug trafficker. So we had to make sure we were safe, more so for my daughter. We come from London. Obviously, I couldn't go to my mum's or anything because, as you know, with people like that, they go to the next person who's very close to you. They go to your family. So, yeah, it's quite deep. It's quite deep. And basically, Porchlight helped me, helped me a lot with my mental health as well. And how can I put it? Not only that, It's given me structure and a reason to live. My daughter gives me a reason to live, but comes first, obviously, because if it weren't for my daughter, I would have hanged my boots up a long time ago because I've lived a double life, triple life. But I've got a purpose in life and I'm in my recovery. In November, I'm 4 years clean of marijuana. I was in a psychosis 4 years ago. I haven't been in psychosis since, so you know that's the marijuana. I was in denial before, but yeah, porch light has helped me, a hell of a lot. And if it weren't for porch light, I wouldn't know where I'd be today.
If you don't mind me asking, how difficult was it sofa surfing when perhaps you weren't sure where you were going to be from one night to the next? I mean, it's hard enough if you're on your own, but when you've got a child
Two
with you
black
as
bin
well.
bags, of clothes. It was quite, you feel uncomfortable when you're sofa surfing as well, because even though, you feel safe, but then you don't feel safe because you don't know who to trust. You don't know who to trust at all. It was hard. It was hard. It's about getting emotional. It was really hard. But now I'm here and I'm doing voluntary work for Porch Light. And it's given me structure and a routine because, when you've come far in life and where I've come from in life, I didn't expect myself to be here today.
What moment do you think led to that a kind of realization of this has to stop? Was it the work that you'd started to do with Porchlight that led to that, or was it just something within you that just said, no, that's it, I'm
I'm
not
getting all
having.
this help, and I've got to help and put 50% myself into it as well, for my recovery, for my mental health. Because if I carried on, I would be sectioned again. And I would, not only that, the tears in my daughter's eyes seeing me unwell in a psychosis, and my family seeing me unwell. Because when you're in a psychosis, I don't even know about it, you don't even know what day it is, you don't know what you're doing, what you're saying. But when you heal, when you recover, what happens is you get flashbacks and you think, oh my God, did I do that? My behavior was like that. But I was hurting my daughter and hurting my family. And I thought, I've got to stop. I've got to stop and make a life, and a clean
Do you
life.
recognize the Jodie of 4 years ago, or does that feel like a
Oh my
different
God,
person?
you wouldn't have seen me. I'd be hazed out. I'd be stoned. I wouldn't even have washed my hair. I wouldn't have, brushed my teeth. I wouldn't have. It just makes you feel. I know people do. I don't judge people who smoke it because that's what they do. Fair play to them. But when you go in a psychosis and what it's got in it in today, you don't know what's in it. You don't know what's in it. So I don't want to go into psychosis again. My daughter don't want to see me in hospital again. My family don't want to see me in hospital. They want to see me well. And if it weren't for my daughter, my family support and porch light support, honestly, I don't know where I would be today. I wouldn't be here talking to you. I'd be in a grave. And that, I ain't going to get tearful. I'm just being real with you. I'm just, yeah.
What do you see as your future now? Because perhaps a few years ago you weren't thinking there was much of a
I was
future.
too stoned, yeah.
What do you want to do now? It seems that the world's your oyster. What do you want to do?
Yes. Well, basically, I want to see myself in 6 months to a year working for Porchlight and helping people in situations what I've come from. I know about domestic violence, I know about drugs, I know about mental health because I've experienced it myself. And yeah, and that's my goals. That's my goals I can see right now, is helping people, young people.
Thank you so much to Jodie for sharing her story. Now, stats released today actually show the number of people who are homeless with a mental health diagnosis has risen by 37% in the last decade. And all this comes as we're being encouraged to sleep rough in Kent tonight to help raise money for those who are facing homelessness. It's part of the Big Sleep Out, where you can be sponsored to spend just one night in a tent or a makeshift shelter. All money will go to Canterbury-based charity Porchlight.
Kent Online reports.
A man who grabbed a bag of jewellery from a car in Margate has been jailed. Julian Martinez followed the vehicle as it transported items from a business in July 2023. He then smashed the window and took the bag before being wrestled to the ground by a witness. The 46-year-old, who doesn't have a permanent address, has been locked up for 3 years. Police have released a picture of a man they're looking for after reports a child was assaulted outside a supermarket on Sheppey. Officers were called to the Morrisons in Queenborough on Saturday night following claims a person had been attacking staff and customers. They've released CCTV images of someone they believe can help. You can see them by heading to the website. 13 canisters of nitrous oxide have been seized by police from suspicious cars in Sittingbourne. Patrol officers spotted the vehicles in the retail park. One of the drivers also had no insurance and was without a valid licence. 5 community resolutions were issued. Now, next today, a groundbreaking new sixth form academy is going to be opening for STEM students in Kent next year. Carbon 6 will be based at Discovery Park in Sandwich and offer 60 places for A-level students of biology, physics, chemistry and maths. The unique location also provides students with future career support and opportunities. We can hear now from Russell Sauntry, who's heading up the initiative.
It's a new development. It's a sixth form for young people who are particularly interested in STEM subjects in Kent. The key thing is the partnership with the Discovery Park. The Discovery Park offers world-leading scientists, companies, developments, and the children are going to be embedded within that Discovery Park environment. We're looking for people that have a real passion for the STEM subjects, so science, technology, engineering, maths. We're looking for people that want to move into those realms for their careers. We're looking for passion. What makes it unique is the link between school and business. All too often, people complain that there is no link. It's difficult for young people to move from education into a career. What makes this place unique is that they're embedded from 16 in an environment that will enable them to move on in their careers and do exactly what they want to do. It's for young people that want to work in a calm, relaxed, professional environment with access to the workplace, with opportunities for work placements, and the chance to meet people who are, frankly, world leaders in their field. If you go onto Kent Choices For You and you look for Carbon 6 or you search for science, you will find us on Kent Choices For You. Our open evening is on the 27th of November. You can find the details on Kent Choices For You. If you search for Carbon 6, you will find us. We are a specialist science and maths college. We'll be starting in September 2026. There is no top limit on the number of students, but we're looking to take 60 of the very best science students in Kent.
The first cohort will start next September.
Kent Online reports.
The first groups of asylum seekers have been flown to France as part of the government's one-in, one-out returns deal. We're told 19 people have left the UK over the past week, taking the total number deported under the agreement to 26. Ministers hope it'll stop small boat crossings. More than 1,000 people made the dangerous journey to Kent on Wednesday. An Ashford landlord has been fined for running an HMO in the town without a licence. Investigators discovered that flats above the Indian Diner restaurant on Lower High Street were being used as a house of multiple occupation. Now a tribunal has ordered the owner to pay £12,500. And investigations found the pilot of a World War II plane was forced to make an emergency landing in Kent after the engine shut down. The Spitfire, which had taken off from Biggin Hill, came down in a field in West Hythe in May. The Air Accident Investigation Branch say degraded parts caused the problem. A passenger suffered minor bruising while the pilot wasn't hurt. Rats have been spotted at a children's play area in Folkestone. Families living close to the West End Quarter play area say it's fallen into neglect, with overflowing bins and vermin leaving it unstable. You can actually head to Kent Online today to see pictures from that site. Well, residents say they've reported the mess to Managers Gateway PLC, but have seen very little action. A brown bear from Kent who had to have pioneering brain surgery has been presented with a cake to mark 1 year since the operation. Bocky, who lives at the Wildwood Trust near Canterbury, was suffering from seizures because of a build-up of fluid, which has now been removed. Becky Copland is from the Trust.
He's pretty much back to his normal self, which is great to see. The other day he was up his favourite oak tree, which was the first time I've seen him up there since before his first seizure. We actually walked past a member of the public who stopped us to ask if he's up there often, and all the staff got really excited because we didn't realise he was even up there. He's back to being a cheeky bear, being quite active, seeing the keepers when we come up. So it's really nice to see. It's been amazing to see all of the support that he's had. Most days we have people asking about how he's doing. We've had three people already today asking if that's Bocky, because he's got his fur back and he's looking really great. And it's meant so much. I mean, I can't even think about how much we owe the amazing vet team, Romain, Elliot. They did an amazing job, not only looking after Bocky and doing such a wonderful job with his surgery, but they supported the keepers as well. We were all really worried. It was a big day, and they talked us through exactly what was happening when, helped us feel more relaxed because we knew what was going on with him, and they just did a stunning job. So while he wasn't feeling great, he was quite shaky, quite wobbly, seemed a bit weaker, and of course had his seizures. We don't really see that now. On the odd occasion in the morning, takes him a little bit longer to stretch and get up, but he's active again. So we're seeing him running around the main enclosure. He's in his pond swimming. He's picking up items, investigating them. He's climbing in his massive hammock that we got a wonderful corporate group to build for him. He's in there most days. So we're seeing all of that higher activity level, the normal bear behaviours that we would expect to see, digging, foraging. So it's such a difference to how he was before that surgery.
A hotel has become the first in Kent to receive a prestigious Michelin key. The awards celebrate the world's best hospitality venues and are run by the same people who hand out Michelin stars for restaurants. Boys Hall in Ashford has been singled out for its exceptional accommodation. Kent's first AI festival is going to be held in Sittingbourne this weekend. Coinciding with Black History Month, the International AI Film Academy Festival and Awards aims to celebrate the potential of artificial intelligence, creativity and representation. It's on at the Avenue Theatre with free screenings taking place as well as interactive training sessions.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and Gillingham's assistant manager has given us an update on boss Gareth Ainsworth following his heart surgery.
I spoke with him yesterday morning and he sounded really upbeat. Much better than he'd sounded earlier in the week. We spoke about, he'd watched the game the other night, we spoke about that. He was going to watch Cheltenham and wanted to get involved in team selection and tactics. So I told him what we had found in terms of watching Cheltenham so far, and we shared ideas. And then I got a call again last night, and he'd been discharged from hospital. So the good news is that we thought it was going to be Thursday, Friday. He's out a day earlier. Really happy about that. He'd slept well, he was full of beans, and it was great to hear him in such good spirits. So real good progress. The game the other night was really the only one that we haven't done without him. He's back involved, and we had a good conversation last night about Cheltenham, and I'll put him on the speaker upstairs, and we'll have a chat with all the staff about the weekend and get our heads together. They were devastated last week because they wanted to win for him. So that was a tough one for them. As I said before, football clubs are about a combination of all the people, and it's Gaz's turn at this moment in time to go through a pretty rough time in life. So it's up to the rest of us just to pull together and until he's back in the fold. But it's going to take a few weeks. When he does come back, it'll be slowly. I'm not sure there's a time scale on that at this moment in time, but the good news is he's back home with his family and in creature comforts, and it's surely better for him to be repairing that heart alongside his family.
Great news, and we wish Gareth all the very best with his continued recovery. On to tomorrow's game now, and there are some injury worries for the Gills, who welcome Cheltenham Town to Priestfield. Bradley Dack, Gareth McCleary and Johnny Smith were all missing in last week's loss to MK Dons. There are now questions over the fitness of Seb Palmer-Holden as well. Kick-off tomorrow is at 3. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online. Moving on to the WSL, and London City Lionesses are back in action this weekend. The side who train in Aylesford welcome West Ham on Sunday. That one's a 12 noon kickoff. On to cricket, and Grant Stewart has signed a new deal at Kent. The 31-year-old all-rounder's agreed a two-year contract at the county. He joined in 2017 and has so far made 179 appearances. Meantime, Dover's Tammy Beaumont's due back in action for England at the Women's World Cup tomorrow. They'll be looking to make it 3 wins from 3 in the competition as they take on Sri Lanka. Ice hockey in its 2 games in in South Division 1 for Kent's Invicta Dynamos this weekend. They travel to take on Streatham Redhawks tomorrow and host the same opposition at the ice rink in Gillingham on Sunday. And finally, two Kent golfers have been named in England's Disability Performance Squad. Ken Powell and Kit Poppert, who play at Northmoreland and Wilderness Clubs, are among 12 who've been chosen. The squad is part of England Golf's strategy to make it the leading sport for disabled people in the country. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Whilst you're online today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker. Plus, we've got plenty of info on the What's On pages. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.